It's the morning show on the Ideas Network. I'm Carrie Kaufman. Aside from the op-ed in the New York Times, the other D.C. story that took the country's attention this week were the confirmation hearings for Brett Kavanaugh for Supreme Court. They were contentious, but were they consequential? Will hearings for a Supreme Court justice ever be as revealing as they once were? Or is this just a show? Rick Essenberg joins us to discuss the judiciary hearings this week. Rick is the president and general counsel of the Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty, or WILL. You have heard him on this show as part of our Week in Review. You recently heard him talk about Marquette Professor John McAdams, whom he represented. Rick, welcome back to the program.
Thanks for having me on this morning.
So how do these types of hearings typically unfold these days?
Well, they unfold in a way that's not very edifying. part of the problem is that one political party, generally the one that's opposing the nomination, wants to get information from the nominee that nominee is not going to give them and probably shouldn't give them. That is, they want to know how this man or woman is going to decide particular cases. And although it would be fantastical to think that somebody who is in the position to be nominated by the United States Supreme Court doesn't have an opinion on contested legal issues, they, in fact, had no opinion, they wouldn't qualify to be nominated, judges are supposed to keep an open mind on contested legal issues. They're supposed to, supposed to read the briefs, listen to the arguments, and think it through. And so, unlike candidates for political office, legislator, executive, they're not going to make a commitment to vote one way or another. Now, there are discussions that you could have with a nominee like Brett Kavanaugh, which would be very illuminating about judicial philosophy and how you go about interpreting legal texts and stuff like that. And people like me would be really fascinated by that, but it wouldn't score a lot of political points, and it wouldn't get that key bit of information that the opponents want to extract from the nominee. And so we wind up getting circuses that go on where, we're talking about an email in which he said that legal scholars may not agree that Roe versus Wade is the law, and that doesn't really tell us anything about this particular nominee.
We are talking to Rick Essenberg. He joins us to discuss the judiciary hearings that are taking place this week with Brett Kavanaugh. There were some contentious issues in the hearing. There were some protests at the very beginning. There were also some Democratic senators who have put some very tough questions to Kavanaugh to get him to say whether or not he supports a Roe v. Wade. That, of course, is the central question that a lot of people want to know. As we remember, when Ruth Bader Ginsburg was confirmed, she was asked that question and she answered it.
She answered it, but she also made clear that she would give no hints, previews of how uncontested cases would be contested cases would be decided. And so, if you wanted to get at, how Brett Kavanaugh is going to approach a case like Roe versus Wade, the problem with Roe versus Wade and the thing that has caused it to be so contentious among lawyers and judges and legal scholars over the years is that it essentially creates a right which is nowhere to be found in the Constitution. That is, the Constitution doesn't talk about abortion, it doesn't talk about privacy. And so it's what lawyers call an unenumerated right. It's a right that the court has recognized, but that it isn't listed in the Constitution itself. And so the conversation you could have with Judge Kavanaugh is, well, what do you think of unenumerated rights? Now, how do you go about, do you think they exist? Do you think courts should recognize rights that aren't listed in the Constitution? And if they are going to do that, how do they go about deciding what they are? And you might find out some things that would be relevant to how he would approach a case like Roe versus Wade, even if you don't get an answer, yes or no, how is he going to vote on whether, you know, Roe should be upheld or not.
Republicans released roughly 42,000 pages on Kavanaugh from George W. Bush's administration. The night before Senate confirmation hearings, Democratic senators, especially Cory Booker, made a big deal about that. Do you think there was a strategy behind that?
Well, yeah. I mean, I think the strategy was to try to come up with some neutral-sounding reason to oppose the candidate. We typically... and there still is, I think, sometimes the sense that the senators should depose a candidate just because of their judicial philosophy. I happen to disagree with that. I think a senator can vote against a nominee for whatever reason that senator wants. Here, I think, you know, it's easier to say, well, we've been denied some information. But, you know, part of the problem is in today's world, when you want to see everything, a document that a person ever touched. We produce so many documents nowadays in the electronic age because, you know, we send emails back and forth. Those are all documents. It used to be that we didn't create that many documents. But it becomes really an untenable task. And you have this situation now where a bunch of people who announced long ago they were going to vote against Judge Kavanaugh are now complaining that they don't have the necessary information to decide whether to vote for or against Judge Kavanaugh. They've already made up their mind. And I doubt that in any of these, you know, emails, we're going to learn anything that really changes what we know about this guy from, you know, now of, you know, public career that extends over 25 years.
But the documents are there. They're public record. Isn't it up to the people who get the documents or who want the documents whether or not they have time and resources to comb through them?
Well, you know, if you want to go over, you know, thousands of documents, then you're going to have to devote the resources to go through them. You're going to have to find a way of to do that. It can't be a blanket reason to simply, you know, delay a nomination. It should be the case that when somebody announces they're retiring from the court at the end of June, we ought to be able to get that person vetted and confirmed by the time the next term of the court begins in October. And so, you know, I'm confident that, you know, the Democrats can figure out a way to look at these emails if they want. If there's some, you know, dispute about, you know, whether certain emails should be privileged or not, I think they can work that through. But really, at the end of the day, yeah, I think that Judge Kavanaugh is pretty much who he seems to be. He's, I think it's fair to say that he is a more conservative justice, but also I think by temperament sort of an incrementalist, that one who is going to be a little bit more like Chief Justice Roberts and who is likely to want to rule on the narrowest grounds possible. And if he's changing the law to move the law incrementally and not in, you know, particularly bold or sweeping ways.
So you mentioned a delay, a strategy of delay. There also is, on the other side, Republican Senator Chuck Grassley, who is head of the Judiciary Committee, said to Hewitt last month that that the point is, and this is a quote, the point is we need to get this done and we will get it done early this fall so that we don't have to worry about it being brought up in the election. How do you respond to that? That sounds like he wants to rush things just because of politics.
Well, you know, I don't know that he's going to achieve an objective of not having it brought up in the election. I think that both sides are going to bring up the Kavanaugh nomination in the election. And I think that, you know, the Republicans will say, look, we, you know, the president nominated this guy who has a stellar resume, who's a, you know, a good, solid jurist. And the Democrats will, you know, attack him on the grounds that they want to attack him. And, you know, that message will either, you know, the party's respective messages will sort of resonate differently, I think, in different states.
And Rick Essenberg, we're going to have you back on as this nomination goes forward. We're going to be talking about this more specifically. I appreciate you coming on today, Rick.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Take care.
I'm Carrie Kaufman. It's the morning show, and you are listening to the Ideas Network.